This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is the Kronos Quartet. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome by phone today David Harrington of the Kronos Quartet. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Nice to talk to you, John.
Great to talk with you, too. I'm very excited to have you featured on the program. David is calling us from San Francisco today. The Kronos Quartet was formed in 1973 by David and has been based out of San Francisco most of that time. They've recorded over 40 albums, received dozens of awards, including a Grammy Award. They've had over 800 pieces commissioned and written for the group and toured and performed all across the globe. Their music has been featured in numerous films, and their list of collaborators is a truly dizzying one, including such diverse names as Philip Glass, Paul McCartney, Bjork, Astor Piazzolla, Allen Ginsberg, Nelly Furtado, Joan Armatrading, David Grisman, Dave Matthews, Pat Metheny, and David Bowie, just to name a few. David, I think where I wanted to start with the interview is, even before we even get into the Kronos Quartet, what drew you to the concept of a quartet just in general?
Well, it was back when I was 12 years old, and I joined the Columbia Record Club at that age.
I remember it well.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I sent in my penny, and I got to choose 5 or 6 LPs. And at the time, I was reading a biography of Beethoven, and I was right at that point in the book and in his life where it was dealing with the late quartets.
Hmm.
And I'd never heard a late quartet. I didn't even know what a late quartet was. But then on the Columbia Record Club, the Budapest String Quartet had just released all of the late Beethoven quartets. And so that became one of my choices. And it arrived in the mail, and I put on Opus 127, the E-flat major quartet. And I fell in love with the sound of the E-flat major opening chord.
Wow.
And basically what happened is I had to figure out a way to make that sound myself. This was in 1961. I went down to the Seattle Public Library and checked out the music. And then I called three other players. I was playing in the Seattle Youth Symphony at that age. And a couple of days later, we got together, and I'll never forget giving the cue, and I heard that sound. And I've been addicted to string quartets ever since that moment. I should say that, the first 5 or 6 seconds sounded a little bit like the record, enough like the record that I got a big chill in my back, and I was addicted to this incredible sound. And then after that, it was a total disaster. But it doesn't matter, you know. Yeah. All you need is that tenth of a second where you hear, you know, you can do something, and you're empowered by, you know, being able to do something that you recognize from having heard other people do it, and it gives you this sense of strength and encouragement, and that's exactly what happened for me.
David, I know that also at a young age, it occurred to you that so much of what we think of as quartet music is tied into Vienna, Austria, and that you became very curious with the concept of what do other places sound like. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, exactly. I mean, for the first 2 or 3 years of my quartet playing, the music that I knew about and was listening to and was able to play with other players was by Mozart, Haydn, Schubert, and Beethoven. And I remember, I think I was 14 years old, I remember looking at the globe, you know, kind of twirling it around, and then I spotted Vienna, Austria, and I just thought, well, gee, all of these composers lived in that same city, you know, within about 75 years of, you know. At that moment, it was kind of one of those great moments that don't happen very often in life, but all of a sudden, I knew that I needed to know what other cities sounded like, what other cultures sounded like, what other composers sounded like from different times, and so that became a journey for my entire life.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with David Harrington of the Kronos Quartet. Another thing that from the start, it seems like that was a very conscious decision on your part and the quartet's part was to focus on new music as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, any form, instrumental form you can think of, whether it's a rock and roll band or it's a string quartet or it's a orchestra, anything you can think of, there are so many kinds of music and feelings and musical colors that do not exist in that form.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of a band with two guitars and a percussion and, you know, a singer playing Webern, for example, or playing Bartok. I mean, it doesn't happen.
It should.
Well, maybe it will, you know, after this interview, somebody's going to hear this and they're going to go out and say, well, I'm going to prove him wrong, you
mm-hmm.
know, and, or I'm going to go listen to Webern and I'm going to find a new way to do it or whatever that might be. And that's the way music advances and the way it works, I think, is that people hear things and it's what happened to me when I was 12. I heard this chord and I had to do it. And what I've noticed is, I hear music every day that I want to find a way of bringing into the world of Kronos, that there are things, so many things, that haven't been done yet within the form of the string quartet that can be. I could do this for the next 1,000 years and I wouldn't run out of ideas. I'm positive of that, you know.
David, that talking about finding new ways to express music and going from one genre to the next leads me to my next question, which is, I confess that, like a lot of music listeners, I think the sort of the gateway tune to being exposed to the Kronos Quartet was your version of Purple Haze.
Okay, great.
And I think that for a lot of people, that's still a kind of a gateway tune, for lack of a better word, to get into the quartet if they are more inclined towards quote unquote popular music or something. Talk about how that came about, because it seems like that really was. At the time, and now it doesn't seem like that big a deal for a classical ensemble to be taking on music from the rock world. But at the time, that was really it was way ahead of its time.
Well, that was in 1979. There was this fear that all of the orchestras were going to go bankrupt in the entire country.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, oh, no, I've never played The Rite of Spring by Stravinsky. And so I talked to a friend of mine and convinced him it would be a wonderful thing for a young composer to do an arrangement for Kronos of The Rite of Spring. And so we got this arrangement. Ended up being a piano quintet. And so we were all set to play The Rite of Spring at Mills College. And then I was thinking, well, gee, what if they want an encore? What are we going to do after the Rite of Spring? And the only thing that came to my mind was Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix. And then we started playing it, and then eventually what happened is, as our concerts became more and more amplified, it got louder and louder, and now to the point where I bet the way we play it is louder than Hendrix played it.
David, I came across another quote that I had to ask you about. When asked about your relationship with your instrument, you described it as a troubled and difficult one.
And I did I say that?
You did. Oh. You did. And I thought that was wonderful. I loved it because I know how that is with musicians. That may have been, you know, at that moment that was, you were feeling that way, or maybe it's an ongoing thing. I don't know.
It was not just that moment. I'm sorry to tell you. It's, you know, the thing about the violin, I love it. But it always wins. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I can count on the fingers of one hand how many times I really think I've done something that I could totally be proud of and that was the best, even better than I'd done before. It happens really rarely, no matter how hard you try and how much you practice. And yet, the beauty of it is the reward for being able to play music and being able to spend your life doing it and being able to play for audiences and, you know, discover more about humanity through music. For me, that's what the violin gives me. And but it's a very exacting mistress or master, however you want to call it. But I wouldn't trade it for anything else. You know, and I think each one of us in Kronos feels that way about the instrument we play. I know that Sunny has said she loves the cello because she can wrap her arms around it and, it, you know, hug it. And, you know, Hank loves the viola, you know, because it has this incredibly noble, beautiful sound that is right at the center of the violin and the cello. And, it, you know, John is incredibly passionate about the violin and different instrument makers, and he has this incredible collection of violin recordings that he's developed, you know, and collected his whole life. So, you know, it's, each of us has our own kind of relationship to our instrument, and we try to bring that to the music we play and the rest of the group.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with David Harrington of the Kronos Quartet. David, I can't help but look at your career with Kronos, and as I said, just literally a dizzying list of artists and musicians that you've collaborated with, you know, 800 pieces, am I right, that have been commissioned and written for Kronos?
It's actually about 900
pieces.
As we're speaking, yeah.
I just want that number to sink in to folks. That's an astronomical number. Everything you've been able to experience as a musician, and we started this interview going back to that first chord that drew you in to the sound of a quartet and just the joy and the agony and everything that music is. You know, how are you feeling about just the overall arc of how things have happened? You're constantly striving for new experiences. But if you just pause for a second right now as we do this interview in, you know, mid-January 2016, how do you feel about the journey that you've had so far?
Well, it's a great question. And what I feel is that there are the greatest notes have not been played. Hmm. And the greatest music has not been written. I think music is a gift that humans created for each other. And to be able to call yourself a musician and to be a part of the community of musicians, it's not only an incredible thing to be within this family of music, you know, people that are drawn, magnetized by music from all over the world. To be a part of that community is so wonderful. But also I feel there are so many things that musicians can be aware of and need to express through their music and through their concerts. And when we get to talk to someone like you, to make it clear that music is so central to the lives of people. I mean, I can't even imagine a world without music. Along with that comes responsibility. And comes the importance of pointing things out, pointing out injustices, pointing out things that don't exist in our world. When I started Kronos in 1973, there was no music from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
None. Right. In the string quartet repertoire.
Sure.
And for me, that became something that I had to change.
Yeah.
I simply had to, and it took a long time to do that. And the first piece that has been written for our 50 for the future. What we're doing for the next 5 years is we're commissioning 5 women, 5 men each year for the next 5 years, so 10 composers a year, and we're trying to create a repertoire for the next generation of string quartet players. The first composer who wrote for the 50 for the future project is Fode Lassana Diabaté from Mali. And I have to tell you, this music is so beautiful, and I'm so proud that that every string quartet group in the world, on April 15th, all you have to do is push the Kronos Quartet website button for 50 for the future, and you can play this music. You can hear it, and you'll be able to play it in your own group. And for me, that is a big deal. Thank you.
kronoskwartet.org is the name of the website where you can go and find out more about what is happening in the world of Kronos. Great website, all kinds of information there. So much more that we could talk about, but I'm very, very honored to be able to get a chance to talk shop with you, David, and have Kronos be a part of our roster of artists here on Musician Spotlight. And I very much appreciate your time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And let me know when we can talk again, because I've really enjoyed speaking with you, John.
Great. Thank you, David.
Okay.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been David Harrington of the Kronos Quartet. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also do that through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. As well, you can get a hold of us through Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.